Our scripture reading this morning, Acts chapter 5. But a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's knowledge, he kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias, Peter asked, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God." Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard it. The young men came and wrapped up his body, then carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price." And she said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down on his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, so they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard those things. The word of God for us, the people of God.
What a story. A chilling tale, as it is often described. Let's step back for a moment and look at the big picture before we attend to the particulars of this story. We'll circle back in a moment. When this story occurs, it is a significant season in the life of the church. A highly diverse group of people are coming together to continue the ministry of Jesus. This highly diverse group of people, Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, free, is becoming the body of Christ, mutually dependent on one another. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, some amazing ministry is taking place. It is also a significant season in the life of the church because, given the fledgling size of the community, just a few members can have big influence, big impact on the church's identity, on its DNA and character, for good or for ill, not only in this moment, but their present actions can shape the future of the church. To state the obvious, Ananias and Sapphira, to state the obvious, their deceitfulness is harmful to the body. It is harmful to the witness of the church in the community. The actions of this couple run completely contrary to who God is and who the church is. Unity and trust are broken with their actions. Again, let's stay with the big picture for another moment to help make sense of this story and to better understand why it matters so much. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the body is being empowered, equipped to live like Jesus, who is truthful, who is not deceitful, who gives his all and does not hold back. The church, then and now, is called to live like this as an instrument and means of God's grace. This means exercising good stewardship for money and for budgets and for so much more, for so much more. Since this story speaks directly to stewardship, not just about money, but of our shared life together, let's talk about stewardship. One of the best descriptions that I have ever heard is that stewardship is a way of life. As United Methodist Bishop Ken Carter notes in some of his writings, good stewardship is vital to an authentic and vibrant and joyful faith. Good stewardship is about who God is, how God is present in the world, and what God expects of us. Christian stewardship recognizes that everything, including our very lives, are given to us as a sacred trust. All of us are called to be good stewards, not just for money and budgets, but also for sharing the good news, to be good stewards, really, of the whole of our life and ministry. Peter says it this way: we are called to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that is all encompassing. Personal story. My husband Ken and I grew up in the church. We were formed in the faith. And then in our early years of marriage, we gave a lot of priority to building up our design, construction, and real estate business. Some of you know both of us are second career pastors. We worked very hard in the business, and then on many Sundays took off spending time on our boat at Watauga Lake. We did not stay as connected to the church during that season as in our formative years. During this time, one of our clients purchased what was at the time the largest contiguous tract of land left in Watauga County, about 1,350 acres. At first, when he said he wanted something big, I showed him tracts of 200, 300, 400 acres, and his response to me was, "I can spit across that. Show me something bigger." We spent a fair amount of time together on the piece of land that he eventually purchased. We walked and hiked the land, considering the possibilities of use for his family, for his wife and their five children. He had lived in Chicago for many years, having started a taxi service with his brother that eventually became the Alms Limousine Service out of Chicago O'Hare. But at heart, he was an Ohio farm boy. One day, he was being especially thoughtful and reflecting on life, on his life. And he asked me about Jesus, and he asked me about the church. What did I know? What was my experience with all this? True confessions, I was ill prepared, and I gave what must have been a very pitiful response. Colin, I'll say serviceable, barely serviceable. No doubt the Holy Spirit jumped in and offered help. But looking back, there is no doubt that if I had been better connected to the life of the church at that time, I could have offered a far more compelling response. Thankfully, this story has a wonderful outcome in multiple ways, and God worked far beyond my abilities. Yes, all of us are called to be stewards of God's grace, all of us, personally and as the church. We are called to share in the responsibility of our common purpose and mission, as well as all the resources that are entrusted to us. The Psalms remind us the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it, and all that is in it. The Apostle Peter says it this way: we are called to be good stewards of the grace entrusted to us, and we serve one another with whatever gift each of us has received. Back to the chilling tale, the disturbing story of Ananias and Sapphira. Their behavior runs completely contrary to the character of Christ and to the character of Christ being formed in the early church by the power of the Holy Spirit. And with their actions, it's like they seem to remove themselves from God's grace. It's like they are reducing giving and generosity to a transaction, and they are missing out on the joy of giving and the joy of generosity. Grace is not transactional. Grace, as we know, as we experience, grace is transformational. I don't know. Maybe they think they can keep one foot in both worlds, straddling the fence, hedging their bets. Maybe they think they can fool God. Maybe they think they can fool the church. Maybe they think nobody's going to find out and they can get away with it. But their deceitfulness is an affront to the integrity of the church, to the unity of the body, and to the holiness of God. Their actions threaten the shared purpose and mission, identity, and witness of the church. This is such a poignant moment that this is the moment that Luke decides to introduce the word church. You heard it in verse 11. And to help illustrate the point, Luke gives us a positive and negative example of what good stewardship looks like. Just before we hear about Ananias and Sapphira, we hear about Barnabas, who sells a tract of land and lays the proceeds at the feet of the apostles for use in the church and community. Now, Barnabas is of Jewish lineage, the tribe of Judah. He's a Levite. He was formerly known as Joseph. But he has been given a new name because of his actions and behaviors and help in the community. Barnabas means encourager. How many of us could use a little bit more encouragement? I'm sure he was a pleasure to be around. Perhaps Ananias and Sapphira want to follow in his footsteps, or at least appear to follow in his example. They too sell land, but then they lie about the proceeds. They hold back, presenting themselves in one way, pretending to be all in, when really not so much. This is a gross miscalculation. Scripture tells us that the early church is of one heart and soul. The Spirit has created this unity. Our job is to maintain that unity. Members of the body are giving with glad and generous hearts so that no one among them is in need. This is a sign of God's power and presence, of God's grace and love. It is a sign of repentance and faith. It is a sign of unity and trust. This is kingdom living that draws others to Christ. Giving with glad and generous hearts points to the person and work of Christ, who gives his all for us and does not hold back. Church. Church. As the body of Christ, we are stewards of God's grace. So may we joyfully live into this grace in grateful response to God. Amen.